would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast as the Bills prepare for a big game heading in to Motown this weekend to take on the Detroit Lions. But, of course, got to talk about last week here. Alex, Buffalo drops a heartbreaker, a 44-42 loss to the Rams in a game there was no defense from either side. A block punt may have been the difference and some questionable moves down the stretch by the Bills coaching staff. I don't know. How would you sum up this game?
You know, it was as much of a disappointment as it was, I think it was a coming out party for Josh Allen. You know, that's the type of game that really solidifies your MVP status. I also honestly think it was one of those games where it, you know, it's not the outcome you wanted, but at the same time, it showed, you know, there are some weaknesses still, but there are also some really good, you know, opportunities there for, you know, this team looked really good. And the offense was absolutely humming. Kind of reminds you of that game Kansas City played against the Rams all those years ago.
Yeah, I could see that a little bit. The only question here, how concerned are you with the lack of defense in this one? They couldn't stop a darn thing. Puka Nacua tore them up. I mean, it was that nickel, you know, too high safety look that not changing and going to maybe a base like, I don't know. It feels weird to say I miss the days of the 4-3 here in Buffalo.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't the issue, actually, Brad. The issue was that they got caught a lot in a single high cover three trying to stop the run, and it ended up killing them because they were selling out to sell the run. And, I mean, also, I was not distraught about this game because Matthew Stafford is an elite quarterback. He is still an elite quarterback in the NFL. He had a perfect game. Literally didn't miss all game. Didn't have a single bad throw. And so, as much as the defensive woes are a slight concern, it's really not. I mean, if Matthew Stafford isn't having a perfect game yesterday, then that the Bills win. You know, the Bills defense is good for 3-4 stops a game. That wins you that ball game.
Sure.
Handedly wins you that ball game. So, you know, I just think part of it was the travel, you know, going across the country.
Sure. There is that. Yes, absolutely.
And so I think they just came out tired. They looked tired, and it was a tough game for them. And Matthew Stafford, like I said, was just playing borderline perfect football.
All right. One thing that really concerned me defensively was the lack of pass rush in this. You know, it just didn't feel like they're getting home enough. And not to single you out here, Alex, but to more pick your brain and let you speak to it here. I know you've been a big fan of Ed Oliver since they drafted him out of Houston. You liked him pre-draft. You love him now. He's had, is it wrong to say, a down year? I mean, 8 solo tackles and 1 sack this year?
Well, and I think teams have played more towards him. I think you see that more and more. But also the game plan around the Buffalo Bills for everybody is not holding the football. And so, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think teams are sort of skirting. The Bills do have a little bit of a vaunted pass rush. So you saw Matthew Stafford didn't really hold the ball for long. It was a lot of quick hitting passes. 1-2, boom. 1-2, boom. 1-2, boom. Getting that ball out very fast, getting it out to his receivers quickly in those short to intermediate routes, which Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp do so well at running. And so, it's really tough. And it felt like Sean McVay planned the perfect game to go against the Bills. It was just a perfect game from the Rams across the board. And for the Bills, it was just unlucky that they happened to be going, you know, it's like a pitcher who throws a no-hitter, but the guy he's going against throws a perfect game.
All right, let's talk about some coaching gaffes in this one. 10 men in on that block punt. The way things were called down the stretch of that game, what did you make of some of the in-game coaching moves?
Yeah, it was just, I mean, it's unfortunate. It happens when, I think they had some injuries. So it happens when you start shifting guys up and down the ladder a little bit. And it's just unfortunate and unlucky. But it does happen. It seems to happen to Bills a little more than most. But, honestly, a lot of the times you get away with those guys making those mistakes in those moments.
Well, one thing I got out of this is, you know, you talked about, you know, it was a good loss to take, you know, taking something out of this. And for me, it was good for me because I acted like a 5-year-old. I said some words that I would never say on this podcast. I screamed, I shouted, I turned the TV off and turned it back on in the fourth quarter. The sky was falling, and then I took a deep breath, I calmed down, and I enjoyed the last quarter of this football game. But I'll admit it, I just had a complete and utter meltdown, and I think it was just good for me to get it out of my system.
Yeah, and it's okay to do that, Brad. You have to have those sometimes.
I mean, look at it this way. If you're going to have a meltdown, have it at your own home. Have it when there's not people you invited over for the game. Have it when you're not in the stadium. You know, it was the right venue. It was the right time. Apologies to my wife, dog, and children, but not necessarily in that order. Wife, children, dog. But at the end of the day, yeah, I had a little bit of a meltdown. Full admitted.
And you know what? Headed into this week, Brad, with all the injuries the Bills have, I feel like it's going to be another shootout. I feel like the Bills and the Lions are both in a similar spot. They're both very injured teams. And so headed down the stretch, they're really going to have – it's going to be, I feel like, another huge shootout for these teams.
All right, let's get into the Lions game shortly. Still more to discuss here on the podcast. But first, reminder, check us out across social media on Twitter. Alex and I are taking a stand. It's never X on this podcast. It's always Twitter. At TW Callahan DHS. That's Alex. I'm at Bills Bruiser at DHS Buffalo on Facebook.com/BuffaloBillsDraftHouse and DraftHouseSports.com. Okay, how do you feel about Josh Allen really putting a stamp? You said, you know, it was kind of a coming out party for Josh Allen in this game, putting a stamp on the MVP is mine to lose.
Yeah, I mean, he played like we expect Josh to play. He never gave up. He never gave in. He was getting the ball around, moving it around. And honestly, it was just an impressive performance overall from Josh Allen.
I mean, where do you put him right now? Do you have him at the front? Is Saquon in the mix? Who do you like for the MVP at this point right now? There's still 4 more weeks to go.
I mean, listen, if we were actually talking about, like, real... Although, to be honest, this also would be about Josh's luck when it comes to MVP, right? The year that he has his MVP year, they decide to give it to a running back because they're like, well, we got to stop giving it to quarterbacks. But I mean,
just like Joe Flacco coming off the bench, playing a couple games last year, he knocked DeMar Hamlin out of the comeback award.
Yeah, and which is crazy.
Right? He died on the field. Isn't that the definition of coming back? Coming back from the dead? I mean, come on.
Still the stupidest thing I've seen, which just kind of proves you shouldn't really let sports writers do anything because that's... And they literally changed the criteria of the award because of it. And so, you know what? It's one of those things where Josh Allen has had an incredible season. And
should be the MVP of the NFL. He is the most valuable player to his team. Because to be honest with you, without Saquon, the Eagles still have Jalen Hurts, Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. They still have an incredible offensive line, a really good defense. Without Josh Allen, the Bills are essentially like, we kind of wish we could get, we could hope we get a wild card.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Like, I mean, be honest, that's the truth, is that they're a wild card hopeful without Josh Allen. And that's like right now.
I don't know. It's a little hard for me to grasp on just because of how bad the rest of the teams in the division are right now. But, yeah, if it weren't for Josh Allen, yeah, it could be a very well different story. So, you know, I can agree. A wild card at best without Josh? Yeah. Yep, I can totally get on board with that. Well, because here's the thing. Kansas City, is it really Mahomes this year? No, it doesn't feel like a Mahomes year. I mean, give the guy his flowers. He's amazing. But at the same time, they're just barely squeaking out wins here. They're winning, but they're squeakers at this point that I don't know if you took him out this year, and I don't know that he's even really in the running here. In my opinion, like you said, if you took Josh Allen out, at the best, wild card team. Absolutely.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I think that's the case for all elite quarterbacks, but that's kind of my point why, you know, you hear people arguing like, well, Lamar statistically this year is better. And it's like, well, his team's also not winning. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, garbage time points don't mean crap, right?
Right. So, you know, it is what it is.
All right. Well, this weekend, big game here in Big D, the Buffalo Bills taking on the Detroit Lions from Ford Field, a 4:25 kickoff televised on CBS. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wilson on the call for this one. And this game's always personal when these two teams meet because anyone who's listened to the podcast the past 10 years knows that I grew up in Detroit and I grew up a Bills fan. I couldn't stand the Lions as a kid because all my friends were Lion fans and they'd give me such crap about the Bills losing 4 Super Bowls. And my mom would say, don't worry, just retort with your team's never been to the Super Bowl. But that would only work the day after because they'd have to go home and ask their dad. And their dad would have to tell them that they never won a Super Bowl. So, yeah, this game is, I don't know. Everyone seems to be talking about the possibility of a Bills-Lions Super Bowl and how great it would be. And I don't disagree. But me personally, I just can't really swallow that pill with the disdain I have for the Lions. And it's not Dan Campbell. It's not any player on this team. It's just the experience I had growing up around Lions fans in Metro Detroit as a Bills fan. It was painful for me. So from that standpoint, I will say in this one, I can't get on board with Detroit at all. And I really hope Buffalo comes in and kills them. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a barn burner like the Ram game. But I would love if Buffalo came in and dropped a 50 burger on them. And if they pitch a shutout at the same time too, all the better.
I honestly think the Bills are coming into this one really locked in. They are very, it seems like this was a wake-up call to them. You know what I mean? It seems like this was like a moment they're like, hey, this isn't going to happen again. Like, this is, we can't allow this to happen. We're too good a team. And as they get healthier in a few spots, it'll be interesting. See, a few more injuries to talk about. Three starting defensive backs for the Bills out of practice this week. It'll be interesting to see, Brad, who out of those is able to start.
All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the injury report going into this game. A lot to break down in this week because the real big question here, in my opinion, is Keon. Is Keon going to be coming back this week? Right now, look at the Lions. It's been noted that their defense is pretty banged up. And right now, two of their D tackles, Unwazirki and Reader, are both limited this week. Reader actually did not practice yesterday with a shoulder injury. Limited today. Taylor Decker back. He's offensive line. He's been fine. He's still on the list, though. The only other one is linebacker Trevor Nowoski. I'm sure I said that wrong. Apologies. But he was out, didn't practice. He's in concussion protocol. So they, I mean, they definitely have some injuries of concern in this one. Bear with me right now. I will tell you right now, I'm not finding the latest injuries here for the Bills. But just from what I've heard reports and everything, to my understanding, Keon is starting to take more and more reps this week, so I'm hopeful that he'll be back in the field.
So, DeMar Hamlin is questionable. He did not participate in Thursday's walkthrough with a back. Baylen Specter has been designated for return from IR. Dwayne Smoot has been designated for return from IR. Taylor Rapp did not practice on Wednesday with his neck. And Rasul Douglas did not practice on Wednesday with his knee. Casey Tuhill is also doubtful. He injured his ribs. So it's one of those things where the Bills are banged up. I wouldn't be shocked if you see, I think it's because of the snow, there was no Bills practice today.
Yes, and I was just going to allude to that. That's why they didn't release it, because of the snow.
Yes. So it's, you know, it's the Bills are banged up, but so are the Lions. But neither side of the ball is banged up for either team. So I think it's one of those things where I think we're going to see an absolute shootout here. And it's basically just going to be who blinks first.
All right. I have two unrealistic ideas to fix the snow situation here in Buffalo. One is you build tunnels, and everyone, there's a whole tunnel frequency underneath here, that's how we drive around. We drive underground in Buffalo, and that's how we get where we need to go. Or the other option is just put a dome over the entire city. Problem solved.
I like number one. Tunnel system, you know, you can't hate a good tunnel system.
No, and that way you don't lose the elements, at least for the Bills games. They still play outdoors, so you don't have to worry about the city being domed in. We're good on that, so we can still play at our overhang stadium in a couple years outdoor, but easily navigate and get through with an underground navigation system. Just a full road grid, but completely underneath.
Yeah, that would, and then you don't have to worry about snow. You know, traffic gets a little dicey there, but we'll figure that problem out as we go.
Every garage, if you park your car in the garage, has a lift that goes down the level and you take off. Go from there.
That would work out perfect. Even, honestly, you should make the garages subterranean. That way, you know, that way you're parking out of the elements.
Yeah. But then again, for those who... You see it here in Buffalo. People put screens on their garages and put their patio furniture in there. What are those folks going to do? Another problem for another day. All right. Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Bills, Lions. All right. Who on that Lions offense do you think is going to give the biggest fits? Is it going to be St. Brown? Is it going to be Gibbs and Montgomery?
It's going to be Gibbs and Monty. I mean, I feel like the Ben Johnson's plan coming into this game is going to be a healthy dose of run early and often, test the Bills defense to see if they learn from their mistakes from the Rams, and really see if they can bring something that they haven't shown on film yet.
Stray observation from the Rams game, but as it relates, because I think it brings hope into this game for the Bills, but I feel like Matt Milano looked like he was really coming into form in this one. Granted, I didn't get to watch the Niner game on TV. I was there, so I didn't see it as close as I would have on my television set, but I really thought that Matt Milano, although he wasn't perfect, he's coming along.
Yes, absolutely. He's getting the rust off.
And that's what makes me wonder if they maybe go with a three linebacker system at times. Because I think that gives him a little bit of versatility. I mean, Bernard plays that Mike linebacker so well that I don't know. Could you see Bobby Babbage possibly changing or shaking up the defense a little bit, the way they play this Lions team?
Maybe, but probably not, honestly. Like, I know people are going to say, like, I was going to say, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But you don't change up your entire scheme after a 4-point loss. And don't get me wrong, you gave up a bunch of points in it. But
is that just part of game planning for this one, just based on what you're attacking? Not necessarily because of the loss, but just trying to adapt on this offense.
I don't think so. I think, to be honest with you, they're more likely just to see some tight nickel looks or even roll a safety. Maybe bring Cole Bishop in, play him close to the box. Just because, you know, you don't want to change your identity completely. And also it gets into the thing of like, all right, you have all these safeties in, or you have these linebackers in. Now who's responsibility? Also means you have to take Teron Johnson off the field, which isn't good. Teron Johnson is maybe the best player on the defense right now. I think it's one of those things where, like, you think about it certainly, but I'd rather have Teron Johnson in there than Dorian Williams, to be honest. Like, if we're, you know, if we're saying, hey, like, bring it as a tight box or have a big nickel.
Other matchups or things that possibly concern you, just defensive. We'll get into the offensive side here. But on the defense, any other matchups? I mean, who do you put on St. Brown in this one?
I think you put Teron Johnson. I think you put Teron Johnson on him and mark him up.
And we've seen him I don't know. He's probably one of the best nickel corners in the NFL. There's not a lot of them, but Teron Johnson has definitely, I think, made a name for himself, the player out of Weber State, that I really would like to see him with a strong performance, but St. Brown's a stud, let's be honest here.
Oh, absolutely, St. Brown's a stud. He is 100% one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But I think he is a guy that Teron Johnson matches up well with. And I think that he'll match him. I think he'll mark him well.
All right. So with Jared Goff, we kind of touched on it a little bit towards the beginning here, Alex, but with Goff, is he a really good game manager? Is he a good quarterback? I feel like if you were to put him in the Hall of Fame right now, he would make it into the Hall of Good. He's been good. He was good with the Rams. He's been good with the Lions. With the Lions, his supporting cast is amazing. His teammates are fantastic. They finally have a good line in Detroit. I feel like he's on the right team for him. I don't know if it's, and I'm not trying to knock the guy, but I don't know. I feel like Detroit could have a better quarterback, but Jared Goff works.
He does exactly what you need him to do. You know, Jared Goff does exactly what the Lions need him to do. He gets the ball where it needs to go. He does nothing more, nothing less. And I think that's exactly what their offense calls for. You know, their offense calls for a guy who can, you know, I don't want to say game manager because that's a dirty word in the NFL, but who can go in there and manage a game. Who can go in there and kind of...
Who can go in there and throw 5 interceptions and still win.
Right, exactly.
Ridiculous. All right. And one thing I think is a major key to this one is Dan Campbell has been gutsy. He's been bold, going for it on some crazy fourth downs. I'd say you make him look the other way. You make him look like, oh, he's a chump for going for it. That's what they need to do. They need to beat Dan Campbell's gambles in this one.
And that's, I mean, to be honest, that's, the Bills have been one of the better fourth down teams. They're really good at stopping teams on fourth down. So if you're going to make him gamble, like, that's okay. We're okay with that. You know, you're okay with that happening. And you're okay with making, you know, because you trust your defense here. Even though they didn't have the best performance, again, I just feel like they were going against a perfect game. You know what I mean? They faced a pitcher who was throwing straight heat. And there was just, you know, it's unlucky. It's really unlucky for that to happen to you. But
it's not going to happen every week. Every week, the guy facing you is not going to have a perfect game.
Offensively, what do you draw up off your Joe Brady? What do you want the offense doing? Obviously, keeping the Lions' offense on the field, I think chewing as much clock as possible is huge. And I say you open up the run early and get James Cook going quickly.
Yeah, I just say keep doing what you've been doing. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I think that's the rule for the offense, right? Is that this offense has been cooking. This offense has been doing really well. Just keep doing what you're doing. Find the guys that are open. Josh Allen, trust your MVP level quarterback. Trust him to do what he needs to.
Props. Let's give out some props on this podcast. Mac Hollins has been just delightful. I sound ridiculous saying that, but he has been delightful. And, his antics off the field, no shoes, but his blocking, making those clutch catches, you've alluded to on this podcast, his numbers aren't flashy, 288, 5 touchdowns, some nifty grabs in the end zone, but a guy who's he'll give you what you need, and he's been a treat.
Yeah, and he's a selfless guy who does what needs to get done. You know, that's who he is. He's a guy who goes out there, you know, and that's what the report on him was coming into the year, was that he's a guy who goes out there and just does what he needs to. He does his job. He doesn't do anyone else's, and you love him for it. You know, you absolutely love having a guy like that who can step up when you need it and, you know, make a play in a big moment. And he's doing exactly what you expect from a guy in that position.
And year after year, it feels like Buffalo will bring in these flyer free agent wide receivers. Sheffield is one in memory, I think, of recently. But, you know, it's nice to see Matt come in. Curtis Samuel is someone who I feel like he's going to have a breakout game some point here. I think really the second half of the season, he's grown, that we're going to see him break loose at some point. But still, enough of flanking him out of the backfield, enough of this cute stuff with Curtis Samuel, please.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, you know, I think he can kind of fit there. Almost like an Isaiah McKenzie gadget guy. I like what they can, there's those options for him there to eat a little bit, where he can get like lined up against a linebacker or lined up against a advantageous matchup. So I'm going to trust Joe Brady to work with him, figure out what works best for him, and then just put him in a situation to be successful.
Final thoughts on this one, Alex?
You know, it seems like all things are pointing towards this team getting healthier as we get closer to the playoffs. And you know what? By far, probably one of the deeper rosters that we've seen from this Buffalo Bills team.
Yeah, I think so too at this point. And they're going to need it. It's going to be a tough push. It is every year, but this team is out for blood, looking to hoist the Lombardi Trophy come year's end. Final thoughts this week, Alex?
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Remind us, find us across Twitter at TWCallahanDHS. That's Alex Jones. I am at Bills Bruiser. Find us at DHS Buffalo on Facebook at facebook.com/BuffaloBillsDraftHouse and DraftHouseSports.com. For Alex Jones, I am Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.